Hello and welcome again to our broadcast. We're looking in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I hope you have your Bible ready. You'll get more out of it if we follow along as we go. This is an important one to have your Bible ready if it's possible. Stay tuned. We'll try to make it plain and we will try to make it simple. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Follow as I read. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. It is very interesting to note that when the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write about the qualifications for the office of pastors and deacons, he used the singular term when he was referring to pastors, and the plural term when he was using referring to deacons. Let's look at verses 1 to 13 again. This is a true saying, if a man, singular, desire the office of a bishop, singular, he, not them, desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless. A bishop, singular, the husband, not husbands, of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, and so on. Goes on to say one, it's singular, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection. For if a man, singular, know not how to rule his own house, how shall he, singular, take care of the church of God? He cannot be a novice, not novices, but a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he, singular, fall into the reproach snare of the devil. Now, when he's talking about deacons, note it is in the plural. Likewise, must the deacons, plural, be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these, plural, also first be proved, then let them, plural, use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. For even so their wives, now we're into plural again, must be grave, not slanderers, they need to be sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons, plural, be husbands, plural, of one wife, ruling their children, plural, and their, plural, own house as well. For they, plural, they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves, plural, a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, it's very interesting, let me say again, that when the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write about the qualifications of the office of pastors and deacons, he used the singular term when referring to pastors and the plural term when referring to deacons. Now, simply coming to terms with the terms, in conclusions to this, let's review it. The terms elder, bishop, pastor are used of the same office in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit inspired men to use different terms because they understood in the areas in which they were what those terms referred to, and they referred to something as being in charge or ruling and teaching. The Greek term bishop indicates the pastor is a man of authority who has a responsibility to a higher power. Bishops are referred to as caring for the church, teaching the scriptures, protecting the flock, and an officer of the local church. The qualifications for bishops strongly stress leadership. The term bishop and elder are used in the same of the same men in 2 Timothy 3:1-2 and 2 Timothy 5:17-19. And so we see in the Bible the ministry involves teaching believers, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, preaching the word, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, taking the oversight, 1 Peter 5 and 2, shepherding the flock, Acts 20 and 28, ruling and leading well, 1 Timothy 5 and 17, being an example, 1 Peter 5 and 3. If this list is not about pastors, what do pastors do? Well, let's go on to verse 2. A bishop or a pastor then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given hospitality, and apt to teach. Now, what does it mean, blameless? All Christians are commanded to be blameless. In Philippians 2:15, it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The word blameless, it actually means to take hold of. There must be nothing in the pastor's life that anyone could tear down the ministry of the church using something that they could take hold of in his life. If his dealings financially or whatever, lots of things could be here. Even as an unsaved Pharisee, Paul said in Philippians 3:6 that concerning the law, he was blameless. That is, they couldn't point their finger at him and say he wasn't doing it right. In verse 10, we read, the deacons must be found blameless. When writing to Titus, Paul explained a little concerning being blameless. He said, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Well, it goes on to say the husband of one wife. Notice it does not say the wife of one husband. Women who hold the position of a pastor in this age of apostasy do it in direct disobedience to the word of God. It says that pastors must be the husband of one wife. Well, the subject of divorce and remarriage is a complicated subject, and it's not easy subject to figure out. However, a child who is old enough to read can understand that the Word of God says that no man can pastor a church if he has been married, divorced, and remarried. It's just that simple. God wrote the Bible. Let's just believe it. Another thing, he's got to be vigilant. The dictionary says vigilant means to keep watch. The Greek word carries the idea of being temperate. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The pastor must have control of his emotions under extreme pressures of the position of a pastor. And if you're a pastor listening to this broadcast, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of extreme pressure in the ministry. Goes on to say he must be sober. This does not mean that he shouldn't have a sense of humor. The truth is, he better have a sense of humor. It means that he does not act foolish in a manner that would cheapen the cause of Christ. Of good behavior, the Greek term good has been translated modest in 1 Timothy 2:9, and we read in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. The dictionary says modest is having or proceeding from a reluctance to call attention to oneself. That's what it's talking about here. The Greek word means well-ordered, becoming, and dignified. Then it says, given to hospitality. Sincere members in the local church need to know that the pastor will receive them and will reach out to them in Christian love. Apt to teach. The pastor must be a student of the book and be able to explain and apply the message of the Word of God to those who hear him speak. Preach the Word, the Bible says. The Greek word also implies that the pastor must be teachable. There are few things more harmful in a local church than a pastor who thinks he knows it all. It was to the pastor that Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. It also goes on to say, not given to wine, not ready to... Barnes notes on this verse says, not ready to quarrel and offer wrong as one on wine. In the previous verse, we read the pastor was to be given to hospitality, and has to do with how he will respond to people. When the Bible says the pastor is not to be given to wine, it also has to do with his responding to people. He shouldn't be responding as one who's on wine. One who is given to wine is not in control of his faculties. Well, Proverbs 23:31 makes it plain, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. There's absolutely no doubt that the Bible teaches that Christians are not to drink fermented wine. Another subject, another time, we're not going there today. It goes on to say no striker, literally not looking for a fight. The pastor is not to be a man looking for battles. If he preaches the word of God, the battles will come to him. He won't have to worry about it. If he's earnestly contending for the faith, as it says to do in Jude 1, well, if he's doing that, the battles have come to him. However, contending for the faith and being contentious are two different things. We don't have to be mean-spirited. Well, not greedy of filthy lucre. Proverbs 15:27 says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. The word lucre means to enjoy monetary gain. And the man who is greedy for monetary gain is disqualified from the position of a pastor. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Notice it doesn't say money. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Ananias and Sapphira were too concerned about money, and it cost them their lives. Well, it is right and proper for a church to provide for their pastor. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders, or the pastors, that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Many churches fail to have the blessings God would like to bestow upon them because they do not take care of their pastor financially. Well, it goes on to say, he must be patient. The pastor must be able to remain calm in spite of the opposition and discouraging situations that will come his way. In 2 Corinthians 11:13, Paul had to deal with the false apostles and deceitful workers who were inside the churches. And in verses 23, we read he was whipped and he was put in prison. Verses 24 through 27 says, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. And in verse 28, he said, besides those things that are without, that cometh upon me daily, he said, besides those, he said, there is the care of all the churches. Interesting. In verses 32 through 33, he said, the governor had, in Damascus, had a garrison desirous to apprehend him. He threw a window in a basket, was let down by the wall, and escaped their hands. And the pastor, he's got to be patient. Now, I don't think any of us as pastors have suffered all of that. But we have more verbal abuse and psychological abuse than we have the physical abuse that Paul went through. But we must, as pastors, be able to take criticism without responding in anger. Then he said, not a brawler. The pastor will, while contending for the faith, must not be contentious. There's a different thing being contending and being contentious. The Greek literally reads, not disposed to fight. Not covetous. The word covetous means to covet, to desire what belongs to someone else. The first thing we are commanded not to covet is found in Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. The list includes the neighbor's wife, manservants, maidservants, ox, ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. The pastor must not covet what is not his, including a ministry like that God has given to someone else. One of the greatest mistakes we can make as pastors is to focus on the numbers that someone else has and covet that numerical growth. It is very important for the pastor to realize his main responsibility as a pastor is not numerical growth, it is spiritual growth. Very, very important. The pastor must feed the sheep God has given him rather than covet the sheep that someone else has. Again, this does not mean as a Christian he should not be concerned about leading people to Christ. That's another subject. You want to be a Christian? Here's a responsibility. We need to be talking to people about the Lord, whether we're pastors or whether we're deacons or whether we're church members. But as a pastor, our first responsibility is to feed the sheep. Well, we also read he must have his family in subjection. He can't be a novice or a new convert. And moreover, he must be of a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into the snare of the devil. Well, there's that music in the background telling us we're out of time again. We'll start again tomorrow. We'll look at likewise the deacons and their responsibilities. Be sure and tune in. We'll try to make it plain and we'll try to make it simple.